The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Purification of Mary and the Presentation of Our Lord is from 1 Samuel chapter 1. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 2. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We recite together Psalm 84. Please rise. How lovely is your dwelling place,
O Lord of hosts.
My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord.
My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God.
Even the sparrow finds a home, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young.
At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Blessed are those who dwell in your house,
ever singing your praise.
Blessed are those whose strength is in you,
in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs.
Yearly rain also covers it with pools.
They go from strength to strength.
Each one appears before God in Zion.
O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer.
Give ear, O God of Jacob.
Behold our shield, O God.
Look on the face of your anointed.
For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness.
For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly.
O Lord of hosts,
blessed is the one who trusts in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message, the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, in which Jesus is presented in the temple. Today is, of course, what the world calls Groundhog Day, especially here in North America. But did you know that behind the quaint custom of the groundhog shadow, which, for the record, is not a great bellwether of coming climate trends, is a reference to the festival of our Lord, which we commemorate today? The older saying in Europe is, if the badger sunbathes on Candlemas week, then for four more weeks he'll remain in his hole. When brought to North America, this was altered to a groundhog seeing his shadow in 6 weeks because of the longer winter season. And older yet are the European traditions about seeing bears on Candlemas. And Candlemas itself, word you probably don't know, is another name for today, the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord. Because one of the traditions associated with this day, since at least the 6th century, was the lighting of special candles and later the blessing of candles. And all this is to say that this day, 40 days after Christmas, is associated by many with the turning of the weather toward spring. Of course, we just had a January thaw last week, and this morning we're definitely returning to more normal winter weather. Sure doesn't feel like spring out there today. And folk traditions such as the groundhog don't hold a lot of sway here on the prairies where we have a lot more extreme climate. The fact is that our ancestors in Europe were very aware of the connections between various church festivals and the times of the calendar year. And the purification of Mary and presentation of our Lord, or Candlemas, is one of those major church festivals. For today is the end of the Christmas season. If you're one of those people who never want Christmas to end, well, sorry, but today's it. The 12 days of Christmas ended, of course, January 5th with Epiphany on January 6th. But the 40 days of the larger expanded Christmas season ends today, with Christ our Lord making his first trip to his temple. As our reading for today says, and when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Mary and Joseph were pious Jews. They held the law of God in sincere faith. So they were familiar with what it said in Exodus chapter 13. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animal. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. It was therefore a requirement for all pious Jewish people flowing out of the Passover that all firstborn sons were to be redeemed. And how was this done? Here the law of the Lord in Leviticus 12 gives the precise details. When the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. He will offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. 40th day, therefore, was a big day. According to the law of the Lord, it was Mary's first true outing after childbirth. It was a chance for her to be purified and restored to her place in Jewish culture and society. It was a big day because it was the opportunity for her firstborn son to be redeemed under the rules God had set in place when he rescued his people from the plague of the firstborn in the days of the Exodus. So this day is called the Purification of Mary and the Presentation of Our Lord. A long, unwieldy title, but getting the idea across of just what's happening. Mary's receiving purification according to God's law. Jesus is being presented in the house of the Lord in order that he may be redeemed according to God's law. And how strange this really is to think about. That the one born to be the world's redeemer, the one born with no sin of his own, must first, under the terms of the law, be redeemed. That the firstborn Son of God, who came to be the perfect and final sacrifice for sin, must here be sacrificed on behalf of, because of the Passover and God's law of the firstborn. And yet this also shows God's deeper plans, a deeper understanding of the unfolding of time. For in the same way as the death of the firstborn, who would be saved from death by the blood of the Lamb in the days of the Passover, gave life and freedom to the people of God in the days of Egypt, so now, in Christ, the death of the firstborn, who will save his people from death by his own blood, gives life and freedom to the people of God today. That is to say, today's commemoration is one of those special ones, which, rightly understood, is a big deal because it's another signpost along the road of our Lord's life here on earth, which indicates who he is and what he has come to do for us and for our salvation. In the same way that New Year's Day is also the recognition of the circumcision of our Lord, the first blood he shed for us and for our salvation as he was made part of the old covenant. So today we see the first sacrifice made during our Lord's life, the sacrifice made on his behalf, in order to prepare him to be the last sacrifice anyone would ever need. Today's gospel focuses our eyes on the fact that Jesus did indeed keep God's law fully, so he could be the perfect, holy sacrifice for our sin, which we so desperately needed, so that his death on the cross would not be in vain, but would be the perfect and final offering. And why do we need this offering? Because how quickly we chase after false gods, be they money or power or various forms of self-gratification. How slow indeed we are to put God first in all things. And these sinful inclinations come out in our thoughts, words, and deeds. They would indeed place us on the road to hell, until Jesus' sacrifice, applied to us first in baptism and restored to us every time we repent and receive his forgiveness, takes us and puts us on the right road again. And what a humble sacrifice Mary makes as well. Our Lord's earthly humility is underscored by this gift which is made by Mary. Luke tells us that Mary sacrificed 2 turtle doves. This sacrifice, as the book of Leviticus notes, is the one apportioned for the truly poor, the ones who can't afford a lamb. I've made mention before in Epiphany sermons that this sacrifice itself demonstrates some of the Christmas season timeline. If you've ever tried to figure out when everything happens, the gifts of the Magi would easily have provided more than enough for Mary to give a full sacrifice according to the law of the Lord. Instead of this humble, meager sacrifice she did give, the God of the universe came to be among the poorest of his people. Indeed, how the house of David had fallen, so that he might extend the richness of his grace and eternal blessings to you, to me, to all who believe in him. All of these details of Mary's purification, our Lord's presentation at the temple, they may not make a lot of sense or seem that important to us now. But without them, our Lord Jesus Christ would not have been properly prepared to do his work, to be our Lord and Savior. What a blessing for us it is that Mary and Joseph piously desired to keep God's law in order that you and I might be saved by Mary's Son. And this then is also the context in which we also hear the famous Song of Simeon. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." While tradition indicates that Simeon was old, Luke doesn't exactly say that. He just says that God had promised him he would see Christ. And Simeon does. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he recognizes that this child is going to be the salvation of God's people and the revelation to the Gentiles. Jesus is the Savior born under the law to redeem not just the Jew, but the Gentile as well. Jesus is born to be a Savior for all people, for all who will hear his word and believe. And as such, today also reminds us as of our calling as Christians. We've been given this truth of God not just to hear and internalize, but also to show through our day-to-day lives and words as well, to our friends, associates, our co-workers, and our families, so that they will also know of this Jesus and what he has done for us. For he is the Son of God, come to be the true Lamb of God for us and for our salvation. Come to wash away our sins in baptism, to make us his new people. And receiving the forgiveness of sins and the peace he brings through it, we also, like Simeon, can and do depart from his house in peace. Strengthened by that forgiveness and grace, we live and love sacrificially because our Lord has sacrificed himself for us and for our salvation. So as you go through the rest of this day, give thanks for your Lord's first visit to the temple, what it means for you and for your salvation. What a blessed time it is indeed. In the name of Jesus, amen. the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.